Recorded as part of the Springfield Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read. We're talking with Dean Bruton, and the date of the podcast is March 11th, 2010. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Good morning.
Here you have a story or two about the Depression.
Well, I was born right in the middle of it, in July of 35, and my father was working on a farm running a steam engine for a threshing crew, making a full dollar a day.
Oh, a dollar a day.
A dollar a day. That was
that
Depression.
That was big money back then.
It was only money. There wasn't much money around. But that's one of the things I remember. As a little boy, Dad took me to pick corn, and he let me drive the horses. I was about three. Uh-huh. I thought I was driving the horses.
Well, now, what did that look like? Was that a buggy of some kind?
Well, it was a big four-wheel wagon.
Okay.
And it was cold, and he told me later that I got cold, so he built the fire so I could stay warm in the middle of the field.
Wow. How many horses were there?
Just two.
Okay.
Two horses.
Do you remember their name?
No, I don't. Grandpa had a horse, one Trixie, and I forgot the other's name, but that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So those horses knew what they were doing.
Well, they didn't need to be slapped with the reins very much, but they didn't run.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was born over by Rogersville in Webster County, north of Henderson. Henderson was a little place across place in the road that got put out of business when the railroad went through Rogersville in the 1870s. And there's an old story that I've read, that Springfield would never amount to anything, it's too close to Henderson.
Oh.
One of my ancient relatives ran an academy there in Henderson, a big building, some sort of, wasn't a high school, it was after high school, but he was a doctor and a pharmacist and a minister. And he ran that academy, as they called it, Henderson Academy. And the building was still there for years, but it's been gone a while. But my parents, my dad was one of 11, the oldest boy of seven boys. And my mother was one of nine. So I had a huge family.
Sounds like it.
I had cousins by the dozens, as I used to say. Right now, I'm the senior Bruton in the family. I'm 75, will be soon. And my grandpa was a clan leader, if you will, and my dad was a clan leader. Now I'm the clan leader.
Well, what does that mean in your
family?
Well,
it means, in the old-fashioned way, the oldest son was the leader of the family.
So people come to you for advice?
Well, they typically
in the family?
They did, and they do, you know. Mm-hmm. In a smaller way now, it's times are different. But Grandpa, with all those kids, he was the chief, and nobody disputed it. And he wasn't abusive about it. He was just a man who led the family,
mm-hmm.
morally and spiritually in many ways. And my dad followed that footsteps. Mm-hmm. And I've tried
now,
in my own way.
Did you get together? Were there a lot of family get-togethers?
Oh, yes. We seemed like going to Grandpa's every Sunday was just a thing.
Uh-huh.
All the uncles and aunts and cousins were always there, and we got along well. We weren't a squabbling, but like mm-hmm. some other families I've known. In fact, the other side of my family.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, we had good times, and my cousins were my best friends.
What kinds of things did you do for fun when you
were kids? Oh, it was a rural area, of course, and we just played like kids do. We had to haul water up from the spring, which was up a real steep hill, and carried up in buckets, and there were cattle around, and we just had a good time just being little kids.
Climbing trees. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I understand you played sports when you were younger, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I started playing softball when I was 15 in a little one-room country school, I'll get to later, but we played softball, and it was a one-room country school with no water except a pump and an outhouse or two. And a little building out back was a cook shack where our cook cooked our lunches.
Hmm.
And we had excellent lunches.
Mm-hmm. What did she make? What kind of things?
Oh my
did
goodness,
she cook?
Peanut butter and honey was my favorite.
Was it homemade bread? Or?
Oh yeah, she cooked everything. Well, the government produced some of the food, mm-hmm. but it was excellent meals. Mm-hmm. She was named Grace. In fact, later I bought the house she used to live in, and lived there for 25 years. Mm-hmm. But it was good times. I walked to school, a mile and a half, which it wasn't uphill both ways either. But I loved it. I didn't miss a day of school my eighth grade year. And I built the fires of the morning. I'd soak corn cobs in kerosene and put them in, light them, and throw a little coal on top of it, and I built the fires. And then at the end of the day, I dusted. And I think I got a whole sum of $2 a week for doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's big money.
So you dusted every day?
Well, yes, after school.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it wasn't a big deal.
You got really good at dusting.
Oh, sure. Didn't have a vacuum either.
Did you sweep as well?
I did. It's been so long now, I've forgotten what all the duties were, but it didn't take me very long.
What do you remember about the teacher?
The best teacher I ever had. His name was E.B. Ferguson, a well-known teacher in the Republic area. The school was called Beulah School, as a matter of fact. It's down here, right across from where the new high school is now, mm-hmm. on the corner there. And I graduated from the eighth grade there in 1950. But Mr. Ferguson, as a long time, is nearing the end of his career, and he encouraged me. I'd gone to six or seven different schools over the years, and I'd gotten way behind. We moved a lot. Mm-hmm. When I settled there in the sixth grade, well, he caught up. Mm-hmm. And taught me a lot of things, like the love of reading, which I'm still with, of course.
But, I can attest to that.
Yeah. He encouraged me and gave me good marks and bragged on me even. Mm-hmm. But he was a good teacher. And he sent good students on to the high school. There were four of us that graduated in the eighth grade in 1950. All four of us are still living, and I'm real close with all of them to mm-hmm. this day. In fact, I talked to one of my friends in Atlanta the day before yesterday, and one of the others was here at a meeting here the other day, and we're all still close.
Mm-hmm. So not everybody went on from your class to high school?
Oh, the four of us did, yeah.
Four of you did.
And Charles graduated from college and became an engineer, mm-hmm. one of my high school friends. Mm-hmm. He's retired now and health problems, but we're still very close. We talk on the phone or email. Mm-hmm. And he lived here nearby till recently when he moved back to Atlanta.
What do you think you learned from your experiences as a child growing up in the Depression period? What kinds of things do you think shaped you?
Well, we were like most of the people around us, poor by today's standards. We didn't have a lot of money, but my dad was a hard worker and set a good example, mm-hmm. and we were just close. We shared equally nothing in many cases, but it was a good experience. I started in school in 1941, right prior in September of 41, prior to World War II, and at Sequoia, which is on Highway 65 at the time, down mm-hmm. by Sequoia Park. Mm-hmm. It was a little three-room school there. But I started with cousins. One of my older cousins taught me how to use the pencil sharpener. It was a big deal, you know, in the first grade.
Well, I bet it was.
It was. But there were other cousins. My cousin Bill and I were in the same grade, and he managed to get us a couple of whippings.
Uh-oh.
He'd poke at me, and I'd poke back, and the last one that does the poking always gets caught. But the teacher took a edge of a board about 2 inches wide, edge of a desk, actually, and whipped us both for fighting in class.
Oh, my goodness. But, and then did you have to go home and tell your father
this
had happened?
Well, of course. But he knew the instigator.
So he knew Bill was
responsible. He knew Bill.
Responsible.
He knew Bill. On the way home from school, there's a little creek running through there. And we lived down the road at the old Garrison store, which is a building that's still there, as a matter of fact. There's some kind of antique store in it. But anyway, we stopped to go fishing. And I got home a little bit late, quite a bit late, as a matter of fact. And Bill took his fish and went home, and I took mine home, and I got whipping.
Uh-oh.
I was in the closet changing clothes, and Dad came home, and Mom told him I was way late. So he took a hickory switch and lit up my legs.
Uh-oh. What happened to the fish?
I don't remember what happened to mine. Bill took his home, and his mother cooked them.
Oh.
She didn't care.
Well, did you have to be home at a certain time to do chores? Or?
No, we did. It wasn't a rural area then, so mother just knew when I was supposed to be home. And she was very strict about that. We lived earlier when I first started school there. We lived on the James River, and my dad ran the farm there. Well, 41, like I mentioned, but he got an exemption from the draft because he was a farmer at the time. And later, we moved away from the farm, he got drafted, and he was already in his 40s. He had four children, but at the last minute, he failed a physical, and he didn't have to go. They had him all lined up to go into the Navy, but he didn't have to go to the Army, or the Navy. They had him prepared to do. I don't know what we'd have done. Mom didn't drive. And, of course, I guess uncles and aunts would have taken care of us.
So your father didn't have to go into the Navy, but you're a military man.
Well, I joined, I dropped out of college right after high school. I didn't have the money to go and didn't do well enough in grades either. But anyway, I joined the Marines in 1955. I spent 3 years in the Marines. It was a great time. I was young. I was at Camp Pendleton, which they call, as my Marines now call, Hollywood Marines.
Why do they say that?
Because it was close to Hollywood.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I would go on liberty to Burbank. My cousin Bill, at the time, lived in Burbank.
Oh, Bill the poker?
Bill, the guy that got me a whipping.
Yeah.
Or helped get me a whipping. Anyway, he lived in Burbank. And he was married and had a little girl. And I'd go to Burbank and spend the weekends, and we'd drive around Hollywood and other places. We had a brand new 57 Mercury.
Oh my.
So we were tall cotton.
I bet so. Now, when did you meet Marty?
I came home on leave in March of 57 when my grandfather died. And I met her. She was at the funeral with two of her friends that I already knew. They were singers. They sang at the funeral. And she was with them. And I met her then. And we started dating then. And then wrote letters back and forth till we got married in June of 58. So we actually dated about 3 weeks, but we wrote letters all the interim time, you know. Yeah.
Now, were you out of the Marines?
No, I was not quite out. I got out in September after we were married in June. In fact, the first time I dated her, Dad said, "Now, son, that's a girl for you."
Really? It was almost love at first sight. Or
well,
he loved her.
He already knew her.
Oh, that's right.
He
was living here.
She was going to church where he did, and he already knew her. So he knew her character all before I did.
So she had his blessing from the beginning.
Yep.
What about your mother? Did she?
My mother died at age 49. Well, mother loved her too. Mother died at age 49 in 1967. So. She had a lot of health problems her whole life, and she died young. And Dad died at age 70 in 1978. But I had a good family. My parents were good. My dad was honest and hardworking.
Sounds like you're carrying on that tradition.
Well, attempting to. You do the best you can. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, and you've got some kids too,
but I've
right?
got three children, a son who's now 50. And he has three boys. One of them was a college graduate, a policeman in Kansas City for a couple of years. Now he's back in our area, and he's given me our first great-grandson.
Oh.
And his brothers, Colin and Tyler, are naval cadets at the academy.
Oh, that's right, the twins.
The twins are naval cadets at the academy. They'll be home tomorrow, as a matter of fact, from spring break. We're looking forward to that.
I bet.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing to do.
Colin just announced that he just finished a 26-mile marathon.
Oh, my word.
Really? He said, I'll be sore tomorrow, he said.
I would imagine so. Those marathons, those are tough.
Yeah.
So they take after Grandpa.
They're athletes. They're athletes. Their daddy was an athlete. My dad was an athlete. He threw his arm away back in the 20s pitching a doubleheader for baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of a team was it?
Well,
it was
just a country club city team back. He never did get specific about it, but it was way back when he was a young man. He decided to pitch a doubleheader. Well, that didn't work.
Uh-oh.
But that
was the end of the arm.
My son was an athlete, still plays. He played in the national over 45 tournament last year, and they won it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I played until I was 70.
That's right.
Yeah, I retired when I was 70. Made headlines in the newspaper and the TV spot. So.
What made you decide you were done?
Well, Aaron was moving away, my shortstop and my catcher, and Jeff was watching his boys play, and the team just kind of, without them around, I didn't want to play.
So it didn't have anything to do with...
No, I could still play tomorrow, but maybe an inning.
Yeah, or two.
Or two. No, it was just time to quit.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was the best sport, I think, you can play, kind of like golf, you can play for a long time. You know,
yeah, that's
if you
true.
Don't hurt yourself.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dean, it's been a pleasure talking with you today, and thank you for recording this for us.
Thanks for inviting me to do this.
Recorded as part of the Springfield Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read. For more information, contact the library at 417-883-5366 or visit us on the web at thelibrary.org.